Welcome to AMI Sites, a podcast that offers you access to thought leaders who can help you expand your entrepreneurial toolbox. Learn from seasoned entrepreneurs who have already walked in your shoes and can help you with your day-to-day business decisions. With your host, AMI Kassar. AMI is the founder and CEO of Multifunding, an advisory company that helps you grow and stay in control of your business.
Hello and welcome. My name is AMI Kassar, founder and CEO of Multifunding. Since 2010, Multifunding has helped businesses achieve their biggest growth goals through creative and personalized funding solutions, working with hundreds of lenders across the nation. Joining us today is Elizabeth Garson, one of the most creative people I know. Elizabeth is an executive creative director and experience producer that builds interactive brand experiences and develops gamification for corporate training. She authored two industry books and is the owner of Steel Owl Productions with the award-winning game room Escape the 1980s. Our main topics today will focus on Elizabeth's creative journey, her favorite projects she's ever worked on, and what she's doing now. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, thank you so much. That was so wonderful, that introduction.
Elizabeth, tell me everything.
Oh, geez. don't even know where to start.
Well, tell me just a little bit about what you like to do.
So I am a creative. I was born completely, probably 100% to the right side of the brain. So what gives me passion in life is that creativity. So as I grew into adult, figuring out how to make a job that satisfied that was a big goal of mine. So as I, you know, graduated from college and grew older, I ventured into territories that, you know, it made me feel achievement in both a professional and a creative way.
So tell us a little bit about that journey. What were some of the steps along the way that worked and didn't work?
So I started out in advertising. I worked for the Franklin Mint as a copywriter because I had won some awards with writing. I was both. I was art and writing. Those were my two biggest skills. So I worked there for a while. And I kept it part-time. Then I moved to Comcast and worked in the internal advertising agency there and also kept that to part-time. That part-time started to become kind of more full-time. And believe it or not, that's what didn't work. So my personality could not work with a 9-to-5 job. So I moved to, I was young enough. I didn't have kids. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to LA. And I'm going to just start my own little agency, just do it creatively and work when I want to work and, you know, kind of go with when I feel creative as opposed to I have to be creative during these hours. And that did work. And so I developed ElizabethGarson.com. This is like early mid 2000s. I got a bunch of clients. Then when I moved back, I started a little ad agency and, you know, we just had a couple clients and I was able to raise my boys and still be creative and still feel like I was at home and be a mom. So that all worked perfectly for me. I made just enough that I could balance mom life, professional life, and do something creative. So that's my history. We did a lot of branding. We did, you know, copywriting. We did print. I've done TV. I've done everything in the advertising realm.
Fast forward the last few years, what's happened?
So then I went to, a friend dragged me to Comic-Con. All right. I'm not into Comic-Con. I'm not a, you know, any cult, whatever that play thing. I'm not into any of that, but dragged me there for one reason, because there was an escape room. This was a brand new concept. It was a horror escape room. I was shaking when I went there. I did not understand this at all. And I went in. It was for the movie, I think Saw, or no, it was The Purge 2. That's what this escape, it was like advertising and Comic-Con. I went through it. And as soon as I went through it, I understood the concept and thought everything, and I hope that they don't hear this, they probably won't, everything they did was wrong. I was like, this is wrong. This is a huge opportunity. People want to experience something. They want to interact. They want to play together. They want to touch things. They want to do things. But the way that this group did it, in my opinion, I saw like a whole world of possibility. So I closed down what I had. You know, I was still working on that. I woke up every single morning at 4 a.m. for a month and wrote my own version of this thing. I just like not of a horror one. I wanted one that was funny. I wanted it to be easier. I wanted the game to the players to operate it themselves. I wanted technology that didn't exist. I wrote all this out and then used my entire savings, everything I had. I found a landlord that was really into the idea that gave me a great deal on rent. And I opened my first escape room called Escape the 1980s.
Awesome. How'd it go?
It was a huge hit from the get-go. It was very hard to explain to people, but viral marketing, it just spread. And sometimes we would have games starting at 7 a.m. and going to 12 midnight, like hour after, like every, you know, every hour. So then I won some award, the game room won awards. And then I began being picked up to talk about escape rooms and experiences and how to write them. And so I began giving seminars and I wrote two books about it.
See, listeners, I told you she was super cool.
Oh, you're amazing.
That's and is that escape room still there today?
We closed it down during the pandemic. So that escape room is my passion. It's been in existence since 2016. During the pandemic, I closed it. I'm actually going to reopen it again and I'm looking back in the same area we were before. But my business grew from there into gamification, corporate gamification. So direct-to-consumer escape experiences or any kind of experience is more a passion, but it's no longer the meat of my business. So yes, we should be opening that by October. It should be open.
Wow. So what are you doing now, Elizabeth?
So I create experiences, gamified experiences for corporations, schools. So basically I take boring content and I make it into a game, an event, an experience. So I've done sometimes that is actually an escape room where there will be a training. And so I create an escape room where you've got to find and use real content in order to move through the game. Sometimes it's a board game. Sometimes it's a digital game. The key with it is that it's all based on content that a company is trying to reinforce. So yeah, that's what I do now. This Monday, I'm doing a scavenger hunt for a friend's school, for example. This is a really cute project that my heart is in. And so we're trying to integrate friends' content and their, you know, what their meeting is about. We're integrating that into the scavenger hunt. So that's the kind of work that I do now.
So do you make money at this?
Yeah, so I do. When it's a bigger company, like these things are not easy. They take a long time and I am not cheap. There's nothing really off the shelf. Everything I do is custom written. So when I have a company that can really pay for that, those are the jobs that I want to take. The other ones, if it's not a big budget, it's really better not to have me because I can't do anything that's not like with game plans and design and this is how it works. And, you know, this it's very, very intensive, the back end of that work. So when I have a good client, yes, it's a great, it pays well and I feel satisfied and happy about it.
Do you have partners?
As of last year, I welcomed in one partner. So he's a big partner in my company and he does a lot of the forward facing corporate content and work.
And do you have a team?
Yeah, we have a team. So our team though, it's not like a regular business where you can just have a staff because short of somebody that's a project manager or, you know, these different like roles that we don't really need because we're project-based, it might require this kind of programming. It might require Arduino. What we're doing might require builders. So we've got about 75 people that we call in that have very specific skill sets that we use, you know, as we need. We have a few contractors that work with us regularly, a programmer, a technological person. We've got a tech team agency that we have a contract with. So we have a couple that are ongoing. We've got a bookkeeper, but everything else is such specific skill sets that we could never hire all the people that we need to flex to each project. That makes sense.
Tell us about your relationship with your partner. So you're a very creative person. I think it's interesting for the listeners.
And so, yeah.
How's it work?
So I am a creative person. And with that comes almost like a hyperactive, my creativity at times can interfere with my ability to focus. All right. So I'll wake up and just think of a new idea and like write the whole thing down. I have a website and let's do this. And he is very stable. He is numbers focused. He thinks about, is this something that we can reuse? Is this something that, can be done? He creates systems and is more of a targeter of the types of clients that we work best with. So he really levels me out. And a lot of times he like, for example, this podcast, he might be doing, like, he's very well spoken. He's got a very heavy corporate history. But at the same
time, I bet you you're cooler than he is,
though. He listens to some pretty cool music. So that's how that works. He's like, he's the balance. He's a good balance to me, but at the same time, he doesn't know it, but he's very creative. And I always say to him, if you'd been raised in a different family, you would not have been an engineer. Like, you would have been probably.
I think there's a wholesome message in that we need to find people to partner, collaborate with who are in many respects our opposites, right? So, and I always say, really understand your strengths and your weaknesses, and then build yourself a team around you that compensate for your weaknesses. And it sounds like that's what you've done, Elizabeth. And that's a big part of your success right now.
I think so. Scott is definitely very different than me, and that really does work. If there was another one of me, I think that we would both blow up.
So what do you see going forward the next couple of years?
So I see, Steel Isles continuing. There's a definite, we're in a niche. People that are looking for what we offer, there's not too many groups doing this. So that continues. My passion is direct to consumer, always will be. So I have a new idea that's a gigantic idea that I've been working on for 5 years. And I'm in discussions about it now, but it's such a humongously expensive idea that I need the time to like kind of sort out all of those details. And, it's for hundreds and hundreds of people. So with 144 different outcomes, so you could go back over and over and over again. So that would be my passion project. In terms of our business work, it will just continue as it does. We love those projects. Those are completely fulfilling it in a different way.
I love it. Elizabeth, you are always up to interesting things. And it's always, again, talk about, I always love to put myself around the table with people who just look at the world through a different lens. And I've had the fortune of working with Elizabeth at different stages in my career. And the outcome is always awesome. So, Elizabeth, if people wanted to learn more about Steel Owl, where do they go?
Oh, so steelowl.com. That has a good gallery of the work that we've done. Escapethe1980s.com is still there too. It's closed. So if you want to learn about the direct to consumer stuff,
that. So when's the new escape room opening?
It should be open by October. I'm finalizing the deals on this new space now.
And that's going to be in Philly, right?
Yeah, it will be in Philly.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, we've got Escape the 1990s in the works, and we've got Time Travel Party in the works too. So we've got two new games that we want to release, but that's just different spaces that we're looking for in Philly.
Are any of these games 100% virtual and not in the physical space at all?
No, and I have a lot of strong feelings about that.
Tell us about that.
I believe that we are screen tired. I think that people are sick of screens. And
100%.
During the pandemic, it was really hard for me because I early in the decisions with Steel Owl and how I wanted the business to be, every experience that we create, corporate or for direct to consumer, is minimization of screens. The pandemic hit and all of a sudden it was like people needed screens. And this was against my, you know, this was against my whole entire business thrust. So we did create screen games then. Aside from that, Steel Owl will never produce custom screen games ever. Like nothing will ever be like that. I don't think it works. I don't think it's what people need. I don't think it's what people want. I think people need to congregate. They need to be together. So they need to touch things, do things. We have to fabricate that now because everything we do is on the screen. So now my job is really fabricating the kinds of interactions that you and I grew up with naturally because there were no screens. So, you know, just something like waiting in line at a mall. I mean, that was, you know, an experience. Like there just none of that exists. So long answer to your short question, no, there's nothing that we do that's 100% virtual except for the stuff that we did during the pandemic.
Awesome. Everyone go check out steelowl.com because Elizabeth Carson is awesome.
Oh, thank you so much, Ami.
Thanks for joining us today on Ami Sites with your host, Ami Kassar, the foremost SBA thought leader. Make sure you visit us at multifunding.com, where you can meet our advisory team and learn more about how we help entrepreneurs fund their future.